Democracy in action.
We're playing musical chairs here. In the spirit of tradition, I'd like to just say something that I hadn't planned to say at all, but I think it needs to be said. When we get somebody, when the people, the music, and you hear it rolling through us in this space, in this sacred space, in this building, from the delicacy of violin music to the rolling piano, this church, if you ever notice on the historical marker piece that's out here, I don't know his name, but the architect who designed this church is the same architect who designed Fort Sumter. I mean, go figure, people. And one of the things about this church are the acoustics. And any of you who have ever spoken from here, sung from here, or listened from here, the acoustics in this space are incredible. You can come in and with a squeaky little voice, think you're a whole choir filling this church. So it's one of our traditions and one of the beauties of this church. So I realized sitting down that another tradition, and I hadn't even known the connection, I volunteered to do two things, and they're the same thing twice. The first was the reading from the book of Luke in the New Testament, the nativity story, and now I'm going to tell you another nativity story. And this is from a friend of mine in Kane, where I'm from, and it's actually her granddaughter, whose name is, I'm going to tell you her name just because I'll go back and forth and you'll think I'm talking about different people. Her name is Jasmine, but the family calls her Jazzy, and she actually has taken another name in the telling of the story, and you'll get it. So one Sunday, a number of years ago, Jazzy's probably at least 8 or 9, if not older now, when she was 3, she and her family, who are from Florida, were at church in Kane. Her mom and dad are really good friends of mine, and they have a daughter named Emily. And their daughter, Emily, was married to Cleo, and they had these two little girls. One was 3, and one was still a little baby in arms. And Jazzy got a little jazzy during church, so her grandmother, who is also named Julie, took her out to go get some books to look at so that she could settle while she was listening to the church service. And some of them were illustrated copies of the Nativity. And Jazzy took it in all kinds of ways. And maybe one of the ways she took it in was her mom and dad, Emily and Cleo, do dressage. So they're horse people, and they are a horse family. So they're used to stables and barns and animals and straw and hay. And there's this story of this baby who's sleeping in the hay. So as was said in Luke, Jazzy told that story over and over again during Christmas. She sent the good news out everywhere, but she changed the story slightly. There was Joseph, there was Mary, there was the baby Jesus, and she put herself in the story every time she told the story, and her name was Petey. So the four of them were there. After Christmas, they all went back to Florida, and as Emily told her mother Julie and is told to me, so you know how that happens when you tell stories over and over again. So as I understand it, they were at Panera Bread, and they were having dinner, and Cleo, the dad, had the littlest one in his lap. So when they got the call to go get their food, Emily went up to the counter to get it. And the little one was kind of wiggling around a lot, and she was sitting on her dad's lap, and she kept trying to put her leg up on the table. And all of a sudden, Jazzy, Petey, jumps up, stands on her chair, and in full voice, so that everyone in Panera Bread could hear her, points to the dad and goes, "Joseph, where is Mary? Can't you see? Do something. Jesus is trying to climb up on the table." So if ever there's a way to take the Christmas story in and make it your own, Merry Christmas.
Hello. It is such a joy to be able to speak to everybody here today. I think a lot of you know me, probably since I was about the size of my son who was here earlier, and maybe some other folks haven't met me, but that's my dad right there. He's the one who's been doing a lot of the talking up here. And I'm quite jet lagged and didn't bring notes, so I'll do my best. So the brief for this talk was tradition around Christmas, and I connect tradition with community. So there's three things I want to mention that come to my mind with Christmas traditions. And one is this Christmas Eve service. I grew up coming to this service, waiting impatiently for the part where we got the candles and got to hold those and play with the wax as it dripped and just see how magical the room got when the lights get dark, when the lights go out and the candles are lit. And the second tradition is I've been living in Germany now for almost 8 years, and there Christmas is slightly different. The real celebration of Christmas is Christmas Eve, not Christmas Day. And there's an evening service like this one, and when the service is over, that's when you can start wishing each other a Merry Christmas on your way home. And it was very sweet as I was sitting in the back pew there, ignoring all the sounds next to me from my kid. I've spent several years in Germany at Christmas missing traditions here and thinking, oh, it's not right to open the presents in the evening on Christmas Eve. Maybe you open one, right? That was my family's rule, but not all of them. And now, as I sat in the back there, I found myself missing some of the German traditions as well, which to me is a sign that I've arrived there too. But I am excited for Christmas morning. Ari has his own stocking. My sister made one for him herself, so I'm very excited. His first time having one. But the third tradition is maybe the one that I'm the most excited to share with you, because I don't know if you know, but I'm currently the vice president of the European Unitarian Universalists, which is a network of lay-led communities across Europe. And we have a tradition every year of the winter solstice, where we meet as close to the real solstice as possible. Usually it's a few days before, otherwise everyone's traveling. And we meet and go on a hike into the woods to a spot where we find a specific tree, which we decorate with flowers and treats for the birds and things like that. And then we gather in a circle. We start in the late afternoon, and we sing songs until the sun goes down and it gets dark. And then, same as here, we light candles and walk out of the woods by candlelight, singing songs together. And then there's a potluck, and we have a Yule log where you can write down something from the old year you wish to leave behind and something for the new year that you want to bring with you. And you can put both of those into the fire and watch them be consumed with the rest. And it's a beautiful tradition that we've been part of. We just had our first solstice since COVID just before we came here. And so Ari was able to listen to the music and request snacks after one song. That was and it's a beautiful tradition to be a part of. So I wanted to bring that to all of you. And a special thank you to, I see Bill up there and Sue down there, the two people who without whom I never would have met Claudia in that very pew where you two are sitting all those years ago. So thank you all, and frohe Weihnachten.
So I've been thinking about many traditions just while I'm sitting here now, and I was remembering how much I enjoyed Christmas as a child and all of the things that that involves. I loved the lights, the trees. I of course, loved the gifts. I loved the cookies. I really loved the cookies. I loved all the food for Christmas, with the exception of the lutefisk, which I never quite got. So, but the rest, I mean, I just really, really loved everything about Christmas as a child. And as an adult, I still like the cookies. I still enjoy so many of the traditions, the tradition of this church. And I've really grown to appreciate the cycle of the sun and the returning light, which is coming at this time of year. The returning of the lights marked by the winter solstice and by Christmas. In the Roman calendar, solstice was celebrated on December 25th as the rebirth of the sun god, that's why the early Catholic Church decided to choose December 25th to mark the birth of Christ. It was, they joining that celebration with the Romans. So for the early Christians, Christmas and solstice were celebrated on exactly the same day. And many of our Christmas traditions stem from those Roman practices, celebrating solstice. And over the years, particularly as an adult, I've celebrated solstice in many ways. When Carol and I first met for 10 or so years, we did a sweat lodge every year honoring the winter solstice. For a few years recently, I celebrated solstice with 108 sun salutations at the yoga studio with some of you here. But one ceremony to mark Christmas and the return of the light that's really been a constant for all of my life, both as a child and as an adult, is the lighting the candles in church while singing Silent Night. Every church I've ever attended, and I've been to a number of different ones at Christmas, including this one, has included this ceremony of lighting candles, singing Silent Night as part of its Christmas Eve service. I'm always moved by the beauty of the faces of friends and neighbors that's illuminated by the candles as the lights dim. And I'm moved by just the peacefulness of the spirit, the way that it pervades the room as the ceremony unfolds. For me, this is really touching on the heart of Christmas. It's a tradition that celebrates the return of the light. It reminds me that we all carry a divine spark. We all have the ability to share that spark with one another. It reminds us that we can each bring more light into our lives and the lives of others. There's hope on that, in that action. There's hope for me, for you. There's hope for our friends and families. There's hope for the world. The light is returning.